Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best beer selection anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. My outstanding broadcast partner for Penn State basketball, Dick Girardi, is also one of the top basketball writers in the country. I want to direct anybody to Philly.com and the Philadelphia Daily News and his article on the 25th anniversary of the death of Hank Gathers. I was in the Palestra that night broadcasting Penn State basketball. I was doing the game alone, as a matter of fact. So I was up in that top level. So in Hank Gathers' hometown of Philadelphia, when word came that he had collapsed, and then as the game went, word came that he had died in that game with Loyola Marymount. And Dick was able to get a hold of so many people, including Bo Kimball, who recalls everything with incredible clarity. It is a fascinating, incredible article. And here's a real... And he told me this last week, so I knew he was doing this. That when Gathers died, you know, he collapsed at midcourt. The University of Portland point guard standing next to him, you know who that was? You'll never believe it. Eric Spoelstra. Coach of the Miami Heat. Unbelievable. But it is an incredible article. And it'll be 25 years on Wednesday, next week, that it happened. 25 years on Wednesday. Great article. In one of the stunning, shocking moments in sports. More on that a little bit later. But now we're going to talk about Pittsburgh sports. Kevin is aching to get a Pittsburgh sports perspective on the guy that will lead the Steelers to championship glory, Reggie Bush.
In the first couple of games when Le'Veon Bell is out.
Well, you pretty much had him like, I mean, the way I heard it is that basically in the end, Bell's going to be watching this guy.
No.
And that you actually, there was actually, of the three parts, you actually had one part where you thought Bush was better.
I don't recall saying I thought Bush was better. In what part did I have him better?
Blocking.
No, I did not say he was a better blocker. I said I said he is a very good third down back, and he blocks as well as Bell.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He does not even remotely block as well as Bell does. And Bell's a better third down back. Bell's just a superior player. That's the glory of having him. But we'll bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. Happy Friday to you. Great to have you with us.
How are you guys doing? I'm calling from I'm talking to you from an undisclosed location.
Yeah, of course you are, as always. And we are broadcasting from an undisclosed location. We prefer management to know that. All right.
Absolutely.
Tony, we know that the Steelers' backup running back situation despite what some Steeler fans thought, oh, Harris will be fine. You're like, oh, okay, if he's so fine, why'd he get nine carries?
Right.
So Reggie Bush got released this week. Is that a possibility?
You know, I think they have to be open to any kind of a possibility, honestly. You know, Reggie Bush may not be the cap-friendly possibility. He may not be as realistic financially. But, boy, would he be nice to have in the back pocket, huh? Especially with the kind of offense the Steelers run. I mean, I think that's where that does get a little bit intriguing. And, you know, this is a kind of a new era for the Steelers. This is all about offense right now. It certainly was last year. And no reason to back off of that. They've got a lot of young superstars on that offense, or budding superstars. And what better way to keep Le'Veon Bell healthy and fresh than to have a guy like Reggie Bush to throw in there on occasion. So I don't know if it's necessarily the most realistic thing, but I got to be honest with you, I think it's a little bit more intriguing just the way this team is made up. And it isn't like they're you know, pushed to the hilt as far as the cap goes. They need to sign Ben Roethlisberger before they figure out what kind of money they're going to have to throw at other free agents, or at least they need to have an idea of what that's going to cost them. And they probably do have that already in mind. So I would not bet on it, but at the same time, I wouldn't rule it out. Just a couple of years ago, I would have said it would be nonsense.
Yet, the other part, though, is in order to put him on the field, you'd have to take Le'Veon Bell on the field, and he's better at all three areas on the field than Bush is.
That's the problem, right? I mean, you know, when you take him off the field, you get worse. He is that good. I mean, you know. So yeah, that's. And if you're going to spend that kind of that kind of money, then I think that's exactly what you have to balance. Is you know, you're pretty much taking a step down with anybody you throw in there. You know, there's probably a handful of backs that can do what Le'Veon Bell does in all three areas. And that's the thing. His pass protection is, you know, if you listen to Ben Roethlisberger, and if you listen, and certainly Roethlisberger would know probably better than anybody, you know, he has flat out said he's the best pass protector that he's had since he's been in the NFL, and Ben's been in the league quite a while now, so I'll take him at his word for that. But yeah, you know, Bell does so many things so well, and that's why he was so hard to replace when he got hurt, because he just, like you said, he does everything so well that it's going to be a step down no matter who you have behind him.
He's a better running back, he's a better receiver, and he's a better blocker than Reggie Bush. He just is. He's three for three. I mean, why do you want to take? I think we'll play Reggie on third down. But you're the best third down back is already out there. He's wearing 26.
So you know, are you paying for a guy just in case you get hurt? That's not a bad thing to do, but that's an awful lot of money to put out there for a guy like Bush.
Okay, will the possibility, and it's a distinct possibility, that Bell gets suspended for maybe two games play a role in what they want to do?
You know, I don't think it has to, and I think that's a very tough situation to be in, because, you know, you can't throw away two games, you know? Right. You absolutely can't throw away two games, and with this team's history, first of all, with the NFL being what it is, there is no game that you can look the other way on and say, okay, we're going to win here in spite of not putting these guys on the field, especially the Steelers. This is a team that lost to two horrible teams last year, and they've had a they've had a tendency to do that over the past 3 or 4 years. So, you know, and they're not, it isn't like they're going to get to be Syracuse here and pick the games that Bell is suspended for. So probably the first two games of the year, I would guess, unless they use some kind of an injunction to fight it, which I don't think the Steelers would do because it appears to be inevitable. So that's going to have to play into what they do at some point. You know, they're going to have to go probably two full games, certainly one, without a guy who is probably offensively and defensively their best football player.
Are you saying that Jim Boeheim manipulated the system? What kind of accusation is that at one of the pillars of the game that has such a strong history?
Again, I'm calling from an undisclosed location.
I understand that. Jason Worlds, 15 and a half sacks the last 2 years, 27 years of age. So what's the thought process behind saying, you know what, let's turn him loose?
You know, I just don't think that they are going to be able to pay Worlds. It's one of those things where the NFL has become, he's almost the definition of a guy that, boy, you'd love to keep him because you're going to be worse without him, but are you going to be better with him at the number he's going to command?
Right.
You know, I think that's the big issue. And I just think he has probably priced himself, you know, through no fault of his own, but he's priced himself out of Pittsburgh. The problem with that is, and it's a significant problem, he is their easily their best and most consistent outside linebacker, and probably will be for another couple of years. But that's the problem. I don't know that they want to sign him much past his 30th birthday. I still think they may want to throw a tag on him, either a transition tag or a franchise tag. It's going to cost them to do that, but they may be in a position where they have to swallow that for a year because there's just so much uncertainty at the outside linebacker
position. Oh, come on. That's the strength of the team on that side of the ball. They're in good shape.
If they can move, you know, this is really how serious it might be. If they move, they may have to consider moving Ryan Shazier outside. They're not saying that they're going to do that. They're talking like they're married to him on the inside. But I have to think, Steve, that they're at least having those conversations internally.
Right. The combine. Anything at the combine jump out? Because I know one of the guys that actually I was talking with said that the Steelers took a long look at Jesse James at the combine.
Yeah, you know, again, I think that would be a great fit for Jesse James, honestly. That's obviously not where they're going to go, you know, early in the draft. But they've got two unrestricted free agents who back up Heath Miller at tight end. And as well as Heath Miller's playing, and I think he's playing the best football of his career still, he's not getting any younger. So they're going to have to find somebody to come in and play under him. And, man, I think that would be a great spot for a guy like James, you know, spend a season, learning a little bit, watching Heath Miller play, practicing with Heath Miller, kind of getting his feet wet. Because I think the ceiling is very high for James. But the Steelers have to go the other side of the ball at the beginning of this draft. They have to go defense. They probably have to go secondary, or they may go outside linebacker. I think the biggest thing to come out of the draft for the Steelers was several of the cornerbacks who they thought might be around maybe had too good of a combine. You know, Trey Waynes from Michigan State played himself out of the top half of the draft, out of the bottom half of the first round into the top half of the first round, and a couple other cornerbacks may have done that as well. So they may have to look at outside linebacker now, but I'll be very surprised if it's not a corner or an outside backer in the first round. Although, again, because of free agency now, that could change if they can add some depth, perhaps, maybe an outside linebacker in the interim that'll allow them to go elsewhere.
Yes, length at 6'1", arm reach, and a 4.3 240 move you up. And that's Waynes of Michigan State.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's I thought they were going to take a Michigan State cornerback last year in Darquez Dennard, but they were in love with Shazier.
And this guy's better than Dennard. Which Steelers should be concerned about about free agency, where they're going to have to start looking here pretty soon? Players that might say bye-bye. You know, not going to be with the Steeler organization any longer.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the door has probably been closed on an Ike Taylor. I just don't see, I think we found out all we needed to know about Ike Taylor when he got healthy at the end of last year and he didn't dress for a team that was in a battle every single week in December to get into the playoffs and to get a seed and to get a home game, and he was healthy there late in the season and he did not dress. So I think that's probably the biggest issue for him. I think when you look at guys, you know, someone like we talked about Jason Worlds. James Harrison has said he wants to come back. could he come back as a backup? Could he come back in that kind of a role? These are the kind of decisions the Steelers are having to make right now. That's the situation they're in the secondary and the linebacker. Steve, I think every other position on the field, I think they feel like they're playoff caliber. But outside linebacker and the secondary, they are, you know, entertaining thoughts on how much can a 37-year-old James Harrison help them. So that's where they are in free agency right now.
Okay. Penguins, where are they right now? What's your evaluation of how they're playing at this moment?
Well, you know, it's been a good week. Let's at least say that. They've had three very good wins back-to-back-to-back. So they're better than they were last time you and I spoke. But they still have the same issues. They've got to put the puck in the net in front of Marc-Andre Fleury. He's playing the best he's played in a long, long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's had a regular season this good. But again, and I hate to keep sounding like a broken record, you know, they can play well for a week or two. They can play poorly for a week or two. But they are where they are. They're going to be in the playoffs. and they're going to be expected to make a deep run, and it's going to be hard to put a grade on anybody, from the general manager to new coach Mike Johnston to a guy like Fleury, until we see what happens in the postseason. That's just where this franchise is. The expectations are what they are. They should be high, and everything comes down to what happens in the spring.
We did a segment this week, Tony, on analytics. A couple long segments on analytics. And, for example, James Franklin is at MIT today as one of the speakers at a conference on analytics. And in looking at the major teams across the area, the Penguins are somewhat believers in analytics. They're up in that upper half. The Pirates are in the upper half. The Steelers are not. They're not big believers in it. How does each use and not use it?
Well, you know, I think you laid that out pretty well. I mean, the Pirates, you know, Clint Hurdle probably came into Pittsburgh as a guy who wasn't a big analytics guy, and he has bought into it the longer he's been here. He's seen it firsthand. He's seen it work. He's seen a pitching staff, you know, become a much better pitching staff because of analytics. And as much as A.J. Burnett might yell about it on the mound during games and scream at Clint Barmas for it, they've made him better. They've extended his career. Right. They've helped, you know, it's not all pitching coach Ray Searidge when it comes to turning some of these guys around. It's, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for the Lirianos, but Neil Huntington and his staff have been firm believers in the defensive shifts. And it's not just as simple as the most dramatic ones that we see, where you see three guys on one side of the second base bag and so forth. Just very slight things, batter to batter. And they do it in the outfield as well. And you're right, they've been in the top half of baseball, and I think that has been a big part of what they've done. And Clint Hurdle, just hearing Clint Hurdle talk about it over the past three or four seasons and how much that has changed and what he has to say about it, is kind of a good insight as far as how much the Pirates use it and where they are. Jim Rutherford openly spoke about how he was going to bring that with him to the Penguins when he came here last offseason. They were going to employ a couple of people in the front office whose main focus was going to be analytics, and they really use it. Now, this isn't going to help the case very much, but they really employ it on the power play, which has been part of their problem this year, not because they use analytics, but they just haven't delivered. But special teams has been really where they want to use it. It's worked very well. Penalty killing, the power play hasn't worked as well, but again, some of that, you know, goes beyond the numbers. You got to put the puck in the net for it to matter. And you're right, the Steelers are that old school, you know, that old school thought process. Now, with an old school guy, Dick LeBeau, having moved on, I'm interested to see how much Keith Butler, the new defensive coordinator, you know, whether he has some different thoughts. And I think maybe this free agency and this draft period will get at least a glimpse into if anything has changed for the Steelers.
It's a very intriguing discussion, and I think it's something that I think has to be discussed these days, because there's definitely a place for it. Maybe not as the overriding thing, but there's a place for it. Tony, have a great weekend. Thanks for everything.
Thanks, Steve.
Analytics of Kevin Herr's life in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had two employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improved. For you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, time now for 30 good seconds of racing.
Actually, that song makes me think of racing. You know, that was one of the songs used in the movie Days of Thunder. Racing is going to be a part of the new movie Focus. The Will Smith movie actually has IndyCar as the focus in the beginning of the movie. There you go.
Well, the audience was intrigued by that. All right.
Atlanta's this weekend. That's about all I can tell you.
Yeah, that's where the car was stolen. All right. I can't believe they took a NASCAR car. Can't believe it.
What would you expect them to take?
What do I expect? Well, it got stolen.
Well, I mean, that's probably, of the racing cars out there, that's probably one that actually looks like it belongs on the road with all the other cars. Kind of.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I think getting caught in it's easy.
It's not the definition of inconspicuous, I'll say that.
We'll find out what Kevin drove this past week. That actually is something you can purchase and feel proud of.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Today's show, as we have every Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics Microbrews best selection. I mean, stock up for the weekend. It's going to be a little bit of snow on Sunday, maybe a little bit, then a little bit more. And soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kevin had a great week with another Sunbury Motors vehicle.
I did indeed. The 2014 Hyundai is what we were featuring this particular week, and that was the Hyundai Elantra GT. The GT had an interesting little noise in the back that I couldn't quite understand what it was. It seemed like every time I put it in reverse, I'd hear like an electronic sound. Well, the Hyundai logo in the back actually hides the backup camera. So what happens is the logo kind of flips and the backup camera becomes available. And then when you put it in drive or in park or whatever, out of reverse, it actually covers it back up. Which anybody that's had a backup camera can really appreciate, because guess what? There's no snow, dirt, road grime that gets on the lens that way, and you don't have to clean it. That was just one of the neat little things I found out this week driving around the 2014 Hyundai Elantra GT, the five-door hatchback. You can drive it around. It's back on the lot. And right now, you can get a low APR of 0% financing for 36, 48, or 60 months, plus 90 days deferred payments, retail bonus cash, and a special lease offer is also available at $189 a month for 36 months. Find out how you can have heated seats and a backup camera and a really big screen to look at that backup camera in the 2014 Hyundai Elantra GT, available now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. By the way, those special offers only last until Monday, so get there tonight or tomorrow.
Sounds good. All right. Well, they'll be fine for both, so get out there and take care of it. Okay. So now we get to the open portion of the program. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. We were hoping to get Steve Williams on to talk a little bit of wrestling today, but they're not really getting going until later today.
Yeah, it's a 5 o'clock start for the Northwest Regional AAA, which is what we'll have coverage of Saturday night here on WKOK. Northwest Regionals, which actually involves District 4. That includes Williamsport, Jersey Shore, Shikellamy, and Sealands Grove wrestlers.
And that's in Altoona.
That's in Toonatown.
Years ago, now, if I mention the name Joe Humphreys, there are fishermen across up and down the valley go, Joe Humphreys, oh, one of the truly great, renowned, published fly fishermen in the world, Joe Humphreys. Remember the one time I met Dick Cheney, we talked for half an hour and we talked about Joe Humphreys because Joe Humphreys had taken him fishing. And Bob Knight, same thing, Joe Humphreys. Joe Humphreys and I used to broadcast wrestling together. He was my analyst. Terrific at it. And one of the events that we did, I think 3 years in a row we did this, was the Northwest Regionals at Altoona. Small world, isn't it? Small world. So we'll get Steve on next week when... we have more results in wrestling to talk about.
Yeah, he'll be down in Hershey for the state AA, AAA championships coming up next weekend, starting Thursday, as a matter of fact.
Looking forward to that very much. Should be terrific. And that's coming. We're getting that time of the year. So we're getting that time of the year.
Do you know spring sports in high school starts on Monday?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of progress out there. Checking out my window right now.
That's what I was just going to say. That's the big issue I see right now is it's going to be an indoor season, I'm afraid, not an outdoor start of the spring sports season.
Well, you know what? And that makes it difficult. Something I was talking with Rob Cooper about baseball. And Penn State was supposed to play baseball this weekend in North Carolina, in Cary, North Carolina. At three games, I think they were going to play NC State, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame. And they had to cancel the tournament because North Carolina has snow. So they had to cancel that tournament. I asked them, I said, is there any formula that you have because of your years of experience coaching up here? Because he used to coach at Wright State and Dayton before this. That is a tried and true formula about how to work out a team indoors and then get them to play outdoors. Let's talk about outfield. Just outfield. You can hit balls in the infield, things like that. But what about judging a fly ball? What about the throw you've got to make? Yeah, you can work on throws to a cutoff man based on distance inside. But how do you handle one that goes into the gap, turn, and make that kind of throw? I mean, there's a lot of things where if you're on a field outside, it can make a huge difference. Yes, you can hit inside. Yes, you can pitch inside. But it's just not that easy to constantly prepare indoors and then have to transition to play the game outdoors. Not because of the weather, but there are certain things you need to do in baseball. And it makes a difference. I mean, even something as simple as a pop-up behind home plate on a foul ball. It's just a, and he said, well, he, and his answer to me was simple. He said, Steve, I've done this my whole life like this, so I don't really, there's really no... I haven't ever really had to make any adjustment to it. I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, the sport that really, really gets hurt right now is a sport like track and field in high school in the spring sports. There is really very little that you can do in the track and field realm, or in the field realm especially, indoors.
Not in high school. And obviously, take for example, here there's the Ashenfelter track. You can go indoors.
Right. But in high school, a lot of them don't have indoor facilities.
Right, so they don't have that, so that's not easy. But again, that's a personal thing. Kevin's son's in track, so
it's well, no, but it's something that. I didn't think about until he did it last year. And last year was a really tough year to do anything outside as well in spring sports because it was cool almost into April and May.
And now you're obsessed with it.
No, I just I never. I mean, I was supposed to in high school be the shot and do shot put, but every time I spun around, I lost balance.
I could picture this. Sure.
I did not do. I was okay, but every time I did the spin, because at that point spins were big in shot put, I'd lose balance and foot fault every time.
Just doesn't sound good.
And discus. Well, discus was even worse. It was a good thing they had a cage. Let's just say that. All right.
You're telling me a couple went backwards.
Well, a couple went sideways, not necessarily backwards, just not in sideways. The regular direction.
Sideways isn't good.
No, sideways is bad.
All right. We're going to have on the Pirates announcers as we go. Tim Nebert's going to join us next week. We're going to have him on from Bradenton. I think we're going to have him on Wednesday next week. Joe Lenardi on Bracketology. Joe got back to me. He wants me to get back to him on Monday. He says he's going to do whatever he can to join us. I think we might be able to get him on Monday. All right, but he says he's going to do whatever he can to join us. So that's a couple that we have on the docket for next week to talk about.
You know, here's another sport that can cause issues. I think this is a spring sport as well as lacrosse. Lacrosse is going to have a heck of a time getting underway.
Go out and get a blowtorch and get rid of it.
That could be a little challenging. That's a pretty big blowtorch. Can we borrow your snowblower?
You know what struck me? You know what struck me, though? Is the other day it got to 34 degrees here. Now, that's not much above freezing. But the sun's at a little higher angle now and so forth, which does make a bit of a difference. Nothing was melting. There was no water in the streets. Oh, what the heck is going on? What's the stuff made out of? They're talking about more snow on Sunday. Get rid of this stuff. I got golf clubs waiting.
That's going to take a really big snowblower to clean off the golf courses.
Oh, no, it's going to take a lot. Let's see. The cost of attendance proposal from the Power Five. There's an infusion of cash and benefits into the system. They estimate that a total of $100 million in cost of attendance money will be handed out by the 65 Power 5 schools. That works out to an average of $1.5 million per school. Here at Penn State, it's going to be $1.7 million, just so you know. Let's see. Coaches already screaming recruiting advantage with cost of attendance. So the Big Ten alone, Penn State leads the conference offering, well, it says 5,748 per player. Purdue can offer 1,900. That's not quite true. Penn State, I understand, was actually at 4,000. Ohio State can offer 3,128. Michigan, 2,452. Difference. Reacting quickly in early January, the NCAA allowed parents of players involved in the first college football playoff in this year's NCAA basketball tournament up to $4,000 in travel expenses. In April, schools were allowed to feed their players an unlimited training table. Now, this year cost Penn State $750,000. We had Sandy Barber on the show last week. That's why the numbers are fresh. She says it could cost up to $1 million starting this year. Here's the part that nobody talks about. What part don't they talk about? The federal Pell Grant, or financial assistance, which is capped at $5,800 per athlete per school year. The Pell Grant is one of the longest-standing forms of financial aid, and it typically goes to players who come from families with low incomes. And that's about, believe it or not, I think 75% qualify. Well, the Pell Grant is still available on top of the money they're going to get. Now, Ohio State, like you see Boone Heron, who plays for the Indianapolis Colts, he was suspended twice by the NCAA for accepting improper benefits. And according to them, they say he legitimately needed some money, and that was a miss for us. We were teaching financial literacy, but still, how did that pass us? How did we not have a method that a young person could say, I'm in dire straits? And this is Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State. And to be honest with you, here's another part. The question is going to be, you know, I wonder if it would behoove athletic departments, in all seriousness, to put on staff a financial advisor for players.
That's a big part of everything right now in college. I'm learning that lesson.
Yeah, the numbers are. But again, they don't have to. They're not paying. You know, you're going to have to pay tuition, room and board. You know, there's books. You know, they already get that part. But they're going to have the Pell Grant money. They're going to get the stipend money. Now, it's not going to add up to a ton of money. I mean, you're talking about, you know, plus the, you know, the food. You don't get money for that. But, you know, you're talking about $9,500. All right. So, I wonder if it would behoove athletic departments to have somebody on staff that is as a financial advisor for them. I don't know. Just something to throw out there. We could send a financial advisor with your son when he goes to school.
I'm supporting that.
Yeah. See, some of these student athletes, what they do with some of them, I've talked to them about this. Talked to some of the football and basketball players about this. Some of them take the money they were getting from the Pell Grants and they were sending it home because their families needed it. So they weren't getting the money because they felt obligated. They had to send it home. This is something you need to discuss with your son. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews. Best selection anywhere. Roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bars second to none. Snacks, soft drinks, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, it's 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is off this weekend. Basketball season for him has come to a close.
It'll be an awful lot of Kevin Spacey this weekend on House of Cards.
Hmm.
Love Kevin Spacey.
Great show. Great show. House of Cards. Fabulous. On what, Netflix?
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, Netflix.
I'm going to watch Iona play a little bit tonight against Manhattan. I haven't had a chance to watch them this year. They're 23-6. They've had a really good year. Tomorrow, Northern Iowa against Wichita State. You know what's interesting is Northern Iowa and Wichita State are two really good teams. Fred VanVleet's one of the better point guards in the country from Wichita State. And Seth Tuttle from Northern Iowa is a guy that, to me, if you love college basketball, is a must-see guy to see. And the oddity of this is that if you were to schedule Northern Iowa, first of all, Northern Iowa, Wichita State struggle to schedule non-conference games because teams don't want to play them. they're really, really good. So a lot of teams really don't want to roll the dice, risk it, and play them unless it's a tournament setting. And because they don't bring brand names. I mean, the diehard basketball fan knows who they are. Wow, they're really good. I'm excited. Let's go watch them. The casual fan, like, Northern Iowa. I'm not going to go watch them, Northern Iowa. What do you mean Northern Iowa beat you? How could you lose to Northern Iowa? Who are they? You know, that's, you know, the casual fan doesn't know sometimes how good a few of these teams happen to be. Hey, we beat Wyoming. Hey, I've heard of Wyoming. Northern Iowa, it's a directional school. No, they're actually really good. Well, that's a big game tomorrow.
Plus, they have the best nickname in college sports.
Well, I kind of liked Cal Santa Cruz, the Banana Slugs.
Well, that's true. That's a tough one. Yeah, I forgot about the Banana Slugs.
But Northern Iowa was the Panthers.
No, I'm talking about Wichita State.
Oh, the Wheat Shockers. Oh,
the
yeah.
Shockers.
Yeah. Well, Cal Irvine Anteaters, that's kind of cool.
That's not bad.
Banana Slugs, love them. Gauchos.